Now, is that of God or is that of God? Ha ha! Did we just kill that stingy spirit or what? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what I heard Brother Hagin's story. He said that he was in a meeting somewhere, and he said that this man come up and said, well, after the meeting was over, said, you was doing real good until you started talking about money. Said, you killed the spirit. He said, yeah, that was that stingy spirit I killed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now you got your seed in the ground. You got seed in the ground. So it's time to start watering it and talking about your harvest. Thanking God. Hallelujah. Before we get into the word, let's do some sowing here, a little seed sowing. Hallelujah. Brother, you look like a man that might want your eyes enlightened. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you think you might want to get some good thinking in your head for a little while. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this brother here, the Lord said, give this to you, brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I told you I was going to give you a testimony. I'll try to do it as quick as I can. I planned on doing it before. But it just seemed like it was time to go ahead and do what we needed to do. But I'll give you a quick testimony, then we'll jump into the Word. A few years ago, I had to have gallbladder surgery. And, of course, all the way through it, I confessed my healing and so on and so on and so on. And when it was all said and done, I think the bill somewhere, I don't really know because people paid and they canceled it and different things happened, but the bill was somewhere around $35,000. And Anthem, my insurance company, just wouldn't pay it. They just said, we're not paying it. It's pre-existing and we're not paying it. And, of course, I'd only been in the hospital two times, once when I was born, second time when I broke my arm in a fight. And so the hospital wanted to law the insurance company. They wanted to write letters and sue them and all this stuff. I said, you know what? I don't operate that way. I said, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. I told them that. And the lady said at the hospital, she said, how do you want to take care of this? I said, my father is going to take care of it. Okay, that's good and fine. Praise the Lord. She said, I agree with you. So after I got out of the hospital, I was, you know, getting better, healing up. Even I went to a camp meeting. And it was a faith and healing camp meeting. There wasn't no financial things mentioned other than taking offerings, you know. And I didn't know the man that was preaching at our former church. Our pastor had him come. His name was Pastor Phil Privett. He's a pastor down in Hampton, Virginia. Got a big church, been at it a long time. I didn't know him, just knew his name when I got there. And the Holy Ghost told my wife during that healing message that she said, the Holy Ghost said, you need to give that man $200. Told my wife that. Now, you got to know my wife. Brother Ray knows her. She's real quiet, real reserved. And so on the way home, she told me, she said, I believe the Lord spoke to me and told me to give him $200. So she went, looked him up on the internet, found his address, sold the $200. Every morning, Ricardo, I was getting up, standing on those bills. Standing on them. You're paid in Jesus' name. You'll not get victory over me. I didn't make you. You're paid. You're paid. Well, so about a week after that camp meeting, maybe 3 days to a week, I guess it was, the lady from the hospital called me. She said, are you sitting down? I said, I sure am. She said, well, I just want to tell you that $15,000 of that $30,000 bill at that hospital has been taken care of. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, I told you in the beginning, whether I'm paying the bill, whether Anthem's paying the bill, or however it's coming, it's going to be paid. And she said, well, you need to give God the glory because he's the one who took care of it. Something of that nature. I said, well, sister, praise the Lord. She's on my mailing list now. Hallelujah. She's a believer. Hallelujah. So in that meeting while we were there, I didn't know that God was talking to my wife about giving $200, but he was also telling me to go to that man's church and take in a service. Well, I didn't know him. And I put it off for probably 5 months, 4 months maybe. And every morning I get up, and the Lord, every day, sometime today, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. And I said, well, Lord, I don't even know the man. I'm going to have to get in my car, drive 5 hours, get a motel room, and just show up for a service. What's this about? That's all I could get. You just got to go. Kind of like what happened here all those years ago. So finally, after 3 or 4 months, I just called him up and I said, Pastor Privet, I don't know what this is about. I don't know you, your ministry very well at all, but the Lord's telling me to come to your church and take in a service. Just come and be there. He said, well, I'm going to be gone 2 weeks, so-and-so. You come this Sunday, this particular Sunday, and we'll be waiting on you. I said, okay. So that Sunday come around, we got there, Ricardo, and I tell you what, you would have thought the president walked through the door. An usher grabbed me by the hand, grabbed my wife by the hand. Doors started flying open. They took us back into where the pastor was, in the kind of the green room, they call it, you know. And here's a picture of him and Jesse Duplantis and him and Kenneth Hagin and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, what is this all about? And there's people all around them, you know, just meeting every need they got and waiting on these people hand and foot. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And this little guy running around in a real nice suit, you know, had a badge on under his suit and had a gun under his hip, you know. And I'm thinking, what is this all about? And then he says, he's looking at the camera or at the screen, you know, in this room that we're in. And he says, told two ushers, he said, go get these boys out of the way on the front row and put this couple right there on the front row. I'm thinking, where's Billy Graham at, or Benny Hinn, or President Bush, or something? What's the deal here? And so the service happened, and they preached. 1,200 people, service, you know, their buildings are paid for. They got all kinds of money. They don't need nothing. And it comes offering time. And I turned to Eva, and I said, Eva, you need to write a check for $100. The Holy Ghost said, double it. Double it. I said, Eva, you need to write a check for $200. So she did. So, after that service is over, they come down off the platform and come to get us, and they said, we want to take you all to lunch. I said, okay, where you want to go? They said, well, we'll go to Outback. So, here we go again with the entourage. I mean, you know, all the guys in the coats, I mean, it looks like the Gestapo or something, you know, and doors are flinging open, and a woman grabs her purse, and we go out the door, and here sits a brand new Escalade with the doors open on it running. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? So we get in and we go over to the Outback, and when we get to the Outback, it just keeps on going. We get to Outback, the door flies open, the hostess says, hello, Pastor Privet, how are you? We're so glad to see you today. Come on in, we got your normal table ready. Is there anything else you need? I'm thinking, this is either favor or preacher worship, one of the two. But I figured out it was favor. So we sat down to eat, and he orders his order, and he said, I'd like to have some kind of peppers, you know, with this meal. And she said, you know what? We just got notice that we ran out, but we sent somebody to the store because we knew you were here. I'm thinking, praise the Lord. This is the way it ought to be. It's the way a man of God ought to be treated. He's a servant. He's also a prophet, priest, king, hallelujah, pastor over your soul. And so anyways, we're sitting there talking, and my wife and his wife are talking, and they're talking about some stuff that they've been through. And what they'd been through in all these years of ministry. And we'd been through the same thing. And they were ministering to us, and we didn't really realize it. And they had told us about what God had done for their church and done for their ministry and the tough times they'd been through. And while they're talking, they just told me everything they got's paid for. Okay? And while they're talking, the Holy Ghost says, give him $500 personally. Well, I just sold $200. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do that right here in this restaurant. You know, and I don't know if Eva's going to be in agreement or not, but you're telling me, so I'm going to do it. So we go back over to their church to pray for their property so they can get some real estate that they needed. And I gave him a check and put it in his hand. I'd known this man all of about an hour. I drove 5 hours to get there, paid for a motel room, and I waited 4 months too long to do it. And he laid his hands on that check and he began to proclaim that debts would be paid supernaturally, that things would be changed in my life in that arena. We got back home, and the very next day, I believe it was, the woman from the hospital called again. And she said, you know, they moved me from downtown into another department in the hospital, and I got in there, and she said, when I got in there, I found out that I could apply for an endowment in your name. And she said, I did. And she said, you don't owe this hospital nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actually, it left $1,200. I'm sorry. because there was some other stuff in the other departments of the hospital that she had went and pulled in, so there was about $1,200 left. And she said, now what do you want to do about that $1,200? I said, the same thing I told you that I was going to do about the $30,000. God don't do anything halfway. He's going to pay it. She said, well, I'll tell you what, if you can pay it within 10 days or whatever, they'll let me reduce it to like $700 and some dollars. I said, I got 10 days. Right? She said, hallelujah. Before that 10 days was up, somebody walked up and handed me a check for $700. Said, go pay that bill. Go pay that bill. So that was 500, 200, and then another 200. So what is that? $900. Erased over $30,000. What is it that you think that your seed that you sowed tonight can't do? Now, I did that totally led by the Holy Ghost and didn't even know the man. You've done it because you love him and you know him. Let me ask you something. If he'll do it for me, will he do it for you?
Yes, he will.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to give you a little report. What you sowed tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I expect when I read this, there ought to be some running. There ought to be some shouting. Because this is only the first installment. You sowed $5,143.24. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God. Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! I'm coming back, brother. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. It ain't got nothing to do with me, but I am coming back. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Now all we got to do is believe for that new car. If you can sell $5,000 in one night, 25 or 30 for a new one ain't nothing. Or whatever you want, 40, whatever it takes. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right, let's get in the Word. Mark 11, 22 through 24. All that blesses my soul. Hallelujah. And there's more coming because I got some seed to sow too. Hallelujah. I just don't have a checkbook with me. Hallelujah. I'll never let that happen again. Because you got to be ready when these opportunities come up. Hallelujah. I drove off and forgot it. But anyways, we'll take care of it. Mark 11, 22. The title this message is, You Can Have Faith That Will Make You Whole. You know, we've seen a lot of things happen this weekend. We've seen people baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've seen people hands laid on for healing. We've seen wisdom and direction and guidance passed out through a prophet. We've seen all these great things happen, and they're all important. They're all needed. The gifts of the Spirit need to flow. People need to be healed. I need to be able to lay hands on you and you recover, as the Bible says. That's all a part of the gospel. But there's a woman in the Bible, as we're going to read about in a little bit, that Jesus said her faith made her whole. And the reason I believe that her faith made her whole is because of what she said, because of what she did. So we'll get to that in a moment. But let's look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. Your faith tonight can make you whole. Financially, spiritually, mentally, physically. Your faith. Not just Pastor Gerald's. Not just mine. Not just Pastor Clifton. Is that right? Clifton. Not just Pastor Brother Ray. But your faith can make you whole. Your faith. What you say, what you do, has everything to do with what you receive. Hallelujah. So let's look at verse 22 and through 24 in Mark 11. It says, So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Hallelujah. Verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Not the government, not your job, not yourself, not your best friend, not somebody you're looking to. You can have confidence in them, you can have faith in them, but he's saying have faith in God. Jesus himself, in red letters. Verse 23, he says, whoever, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Whoever says to the mountain, Jesus is telling you to talk to the mountain, not about the mountain. Talk to the mountain. To the mountain. Talking about it hours and hours and hours and hours of going over it and over it and over it, how it ought to be moved or how it ought to be worked out or how you feel about it or what you're going through or how awful it is not changing anything. Speak to the mountain. He said it himself. Brother Hagin didn't write this. He would tell you that it was only revealed to him, which was a great thing. Hallelujah. Whoever says to the mountain, whoever, not just preachers, not just teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Maybe you have a decision to make tonight, and something is blocking the answer. Don't just talk about it, talk to it, whatever's blocking it. Whatever's blocking your answer, talk to it. Whatever, whatever it is. Don't speak lack. Don't speak worry. Don't speak confusion. Don't speak anything but the Word of God rolling off the end of your tongue and the mountain has to move. Yeah, but I've been going through it for so many years. Well, start talking to the mountain. Remove it with your words, he says here. Say to this mountain, be removed. Let's just do that right now. Follow me with it. Lack, be removed. In Jesus' name. From my family, from my church, from those I love, in Jesus' name, that mountain's gone. It's gone. Now, if it's sickness for you, you can do the same thing with sickness. You can do the same thing with discouragement. Whatever that mountain is, whatever it is, worry, lack, confusion, whatever it is, nothing else has worked up until this point or you would have been over it. All the talking, all the counseling. Listen, I went to counselors, and I'm not against counselors by any means. God, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost counselors. I'm not against that. But there's no better counselor than the Holy Ghost. None better. None better. Before I was delivered, matter of fact, the man that told me to go back to church was a psychiatrist. He was a Christian. And I went back the next week and God delivered me out of the mess I was in. I come back and told him the story. He sat and bawled and cried. He said, what's happened to you? It's a miracle of God. I want to know if you'll come to the Veterans Hospital in Lexington and tell your story to the chapel service. He'd been in the business of psychiatric care for, he was probably 55 at that time, so he'd been in there for 30 years. He said, it's a miracle of God. So I started talking to the mountain. Not going to his office and going over my childhood and how awful it was and how bad it was. Not rehashing all the things that had happened to me. The Holy Ghost said to me just not too long ago, he said, stop going over the mistakes of the past and start celebrating the victory right now. Right now. Right now. The victory right now. My mother's in heaven. Your son is in heaven. Your wife is in heaven. They're there. The Lord said to me in 1997 when I was just weeping over my mother. She'd been dead 2 years. I was going down the road. He said, son, she's with me. Go on and do what I've called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what I started doing. I started talking to the mountain of discouragement and fear and worry and anxiety and the missing of her and all that. I started talking to that mountain instead of nursing it and petting it and reading everybody's book about it. Hallelujah. And what 14 other doctors thought about it. Hallelujah. Talk to the sickness, not about the sickness. We as church people have a tendency to do that even. Well, I went last week and they told me this and they told me that. Well, what does it really matter what they told you if you're a believer? Other than, do you know how to pray about what they told you? Hallelujah. You know how to believe. Stop talking sickness. Stop talking about it and talk to it. Don't talk lack and want. Talk to it. How do you do that? I'm a child of the God. I'm a child of the King. It's God's will that I be blessed. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, everything I set my hand unto is blessed. Everything I put my in the field, in the city, in the country, everywhere I go, I am blessed. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. I expect money to come to me. Hallelujah. I expect money to come to me. You know, we talk in tongues, we shout, we run, we dance, we have the best time ever was in church. But some churches I go to, you start talking about money, and man, I tell you what, you would have thought you was talking about the devil. They're going to work 80 hours or 60 hours a week to get some of it, and you come in and try to talk about it where it ought to be talked about, and they get mad. Talk to your money. Talk to it. Come to me now in the name of Jesus. Come to me now in the name of Jesus. There was a phrase that was coined by, I believe, Brother Mark Hankins, and it was the phrase that the money that belongs to me comes to me. And where he got that from, I believe, was he was sitting in a service somewhere at Brother Copeland or Brother Hagin's ministry, and there was this missionary sitting beside him, and all this giving was going on, and he knew this missionary was, you know, down and out, and you know, and probably didn't have a lot to give, and he was bold enough to ask him. He said, "Doesn't this bother you that all this giving's going on, and you're going overseas, and you're having all this trouble and stuff, and so on, and financially?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "The money that belongs to me comes to me." And Buddy Mark grabbed a hold of that, and he coined that, and he's told that everywhere. Call in your money. You'll call in your healing, won't you? You'll ask God to heal you, won't you? You've asked God to save you. You've asked God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Why would you be afraid to talk to God about money? Hallelujah. From here on out, the rest of this year, this is in my heart, from here on out, the rest of this year, as a body, individually and as a body, you need to start asking God for seed. Specifically, asking Him for seed to sow. And to let you know when it's the seed and when it's the bread. Because you don't want to eat the seed, you want to eat the bread. Hallelujah. There's not a stingy bone in Gerald Relaford. Not one. Not one hair, not one nerve, not one muscle. And God's honored that tonight and going to honor it even more. So start talking to your money as a church and as a body and as an individual. You have the authority to do it. Why? Because Jesus said so. Look what it says here. "For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He will have whatever he says. And notice what it says. It says, whoever. "For surely I say to you, whoever." Whoever. Not just the theologian, not just the doctor, not just a 30-year veteran of the ministry. If you know Jesus, you can talk to the mountain. Brother Ray taught me this when I was first in his ministry and first saved. He said, "All you got to do to lead somebody where they need to go is be one step ahead of them." In other words, if you're saved, you can lead somebody to Jesus. If you know how to give, you can teach somebody how to give. If you know how to be healed, you can teach somebody how to receive their healing. You don't have to be John the Baptist to make the Bible work for you. You don't have to be you don't have to be Oral Roberts or Brother Hagin. You don't have to be that. Matter of fact, they're them, you're you. So take where you are and start with this verse and build your faith and begin to work these verses and begin to confess and begin to believe, not for 3 days or 3 weeks, but for the rest of your life until Jesus comes or you're with Him. You have the authority to do it, Jesus said, because He said whoever. He didn't say just apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Verse 23, He says, do not doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say. Who's the first one who hears what you say? You. Say the word. Say the word. Say the word. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You can be combing your hair in the morning. I'm the one who prospers in that verse. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. We have no problem saying I'm saved. We have no problem saying I'm filled with the Spirit. But you get somebody say I'm rich and they just about choke on it. It's a mentality that needs to be changed in the church. Because Jesus said so. Look at Psalm 112 real quick. Hold your finger there where we are in Mark. Psalm 112. I want to dispel some darkness. Psalm 112. See, because you have seed in the ground now. You have seed in the ground. I expect testimonies. I believe Brother Gerald will give people opportunities to give testimonies now that this seed is in the ground to come back and say, you know what? My credit card bill just got paid off. My car just got paid off. My house just got paid off. Somebody walked up and handed me $500 just because they said they wanted to give it to me. You need to be expecting that to happen. Now, he says here in Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. So it's blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in His commandments. So the person that's getting blessed here is the one who fears the Lord and delights greatly in His word. Reverence God and fear God, reverence Him, and delight greatly in His word. That's the man that's going to be blessed in this verse. His descendants will be mighty on earth. You want your kids to serve God? There you go. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And verse 3 is the one you ought to circle and remember. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Can you think of any better way to live than to be a wealthy, rich, righteous believer forever? You say, well, I'm not experiencing that. I'm not getting that. That's not happening to me. Check your sowing. Check your giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6 is not a lie. It says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. There's two kinds of seed, sparing or bountiful. Tonight you put some bountiful seed in the ground, so you ought to be saying, I got some bountiful harvest coming. And as soon as that harvest comes, come right back to where you were and give more seed. And come right back and over and over and over and over and over. And the greatest thing about it is, you're not putting it in the stock market. You're putting it in the kingdom, people being saved, people being healed, people being filled, people being delivered. The lights are on. Hallelujah. The bills are paid. Hallelujah. And it's doing the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. God wants to provide, but His main way of providing financially is through your seed. You can pray all day and have no seed in the ground and ain't nothing coming up. Try it. Go out to your garden. Stand in the middle of the field and say, Lord, I thank you something's coming up. I thank you I got a harvest. I believe you for a harvest right now. I thank you for the harvest. I thank you. And you ain't put nothing in the ground. There ain't nothing coming up. What He wants to do is put seed in your hand so you can put it in the ground. Whether it's words, whether it's money, whether it's love, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, whatever you're sowing. You say, I don't have no money to sow. Vacuum the church. I don't have no money to sow. Start asking God for seed. Hallelujah. Talk to your money. Go home tonight. say money that belongs to me comes to me based on 2 Corinthians 9:6. I've put some seed in the ground tonight, and it's a bountiful seed. It's not a sparing seed. I'm not talking lack over it, and I got bountiful harvest coming. And stay on it till you get it, till it manifests. That's what you've done with everything else. That's what you've done with your salvation. That's what you've done with your healing. That's what you've done with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't get the doubt in your heart. Get it out. You cannot remove the problem or obstacle with doubt and unbelief. You must be fully convinced by the Word of God and know that Jesus is telling you the truth. Smith Wigglesworth said it this way: it's impossible to receive a blessing that you don't know that God is offering. If you don't know that it's in here, you can't claim it. If you don't know the will, when somebody in your family died that left a will to be read to a group of people to let them know what they had left them, you know, after their death, if you don't go to the reading of the will, you don't know what you got. So it's in the will, the Word. Hallelujah. So you can remove the mountain, but you can't do it with doubt and unbelief. You must be fully convinced that Jesus is telling you the truth. You have to believe what you're saying and believe that Jesus told you to say it. Hallelujah. Look at Romans. We're going to get rid of some doubt. You know, there's a measure of faith. We're going to wrap up here in just a moment. There's a measure of faith that you were given when you were born again. Faith can be measured. You know that? Faith can be measured. Where are you at on the scale? Don't be condemned about it. But where are you at on the faith scale? You know, if you had a thermometer, where are you at? You in the middle? What's your temperature? In other words, how much have you worked on your faith? Well, I've come to church, and I've done this, and I've done that. No, how much have you worked on your faith? That's part of it. But how much have you worked on your faith? The only way to get faith, there is no other way to get faith other than the Word of God. You can't get it any other way. You can't pray for it. You can't hope it comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith, the only way to get faith, is the Word. The only way to put gas in, the only way to get to a point is to put gas in your car. The only way to keep a battery charged is to charge it. The only way to keep your flashlight burning is to charge the battery if it's a rechargeable one, or buy a new battery. That's the same way with faith. The only way to build it is with the Word. Not just coming off my lips or off your pastor's lips, but mainly coming off of your lips. Because you're the first one who hears what you say. How about when you're shaving? I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm highly favored. I have everything the Word says I have. Instead of saying, oh, what a day this is going to be. How am I going to get the bills paid? How am I going to do this? Or if you're a lady putting on lipstick. Confess the Word. Romans chapter 4. We're talking about not having weak faith. We're talking about your faith can make you whole. Your faith can make you whole. Your faith in God can heal your body, cause you to receive the healing that's already been provided tonight. Tonight, this very night. You can leave here as I did on that service on October 30th, 1988 at 10:30 in the morning. You can leave here totally free. I was delivered of a 10-year cocaine, marijuana, alcohol habit in a matter of about 2.5 minutes, and they spent thousands trying to counsel me. I'd like to have all that money back they spent. I'm going to get it back. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, talking about Abraham. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Faith can be strong or it can be weak. Look at verse 19. It says, not being weak in faith. It can be strong, it can be weak. Build your faith in the Word. Strengthen your faith. Feed your faith. Now, for later. Don't wait till trouble comes. Don't be a 911 Christian. Don't wait till trouble comes to try to access and make a demand on your faith that you don't have any faith for. Build it now. Build it in the middle of a storm. Build it in the middle of trouble. Build it when things are good. Build your faith all the time. Sing the Word, sister. Sing the Word. It's in my heart. Sing the Word. Sing the Word. Talk the Word. Do the Word. Do not wait for trouble. Live from a place of strength, not weakness. As I said last night, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. I coined that from somebody else. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, he did not consider his own body dead. That means if God said it, you can do it. He's 100 years old and going to have a baby. You want to try that? But God said it. If we say what he said, we can have what he said we could have. You mean tell me I can take a verse from the Bible and I can speak it over my life until it manifests in my life? Well, that's what we've done tonight. I called my wife. I said, I want you at 7 o'clock to pray for the largest offering this church has ever given. And it ain't for me. She said, oh, no, it's not for you. No, she didn't. I'm kidding. Jesus wants you full of faith. He wants you feeding your faith, but he's not going to feed it for you. He'll love you. He'll help you. He'll minister life to you. The Holy Ghost is a helper. The Bible calls him a helper. If Brother Clifton and I were going to, if I was going to move this right here and I ask him to help me move it, then he's helping me. That's where the Holy Ghost is. He's a helper. You call on him and he helps. You call on him and he helps and makes a way when there seems to be no way. Verse 20 says, he did not waver. Look what it says. It says he did not waver what? At the words of Brother Hagin. No, that's not what it says. It says he did not waver at the words of Brother Mark. No, that's not what it says. It says he did not waver at the promise of God. How? Through unbelief. Tonight, you have sown, and you need to water your seed with faith. Faith cometh, and fear goeth. Hallelujah. Don't waver. Do not be moved by what you see or how you feel or what somebody else says. Be moved by the promise of God that's in your mouth. Not my mouth or Brother Gerald's mouth, the one that's in your mouth. And you then will be possessed by the answer and not the problem. You don't want to be possessed by the problem, do you? Possessed by the answer. Abraham was strengthened. How? In faith, it says. Look what it says. And he was strengthened in faith, in verse 20, giving glory to God. That's what Laverne has done this whole camp meeting. She's worn me out. Praise God. Giving glory to God. I'm not complaining. I enjoy it. So get by yourself and start giving glory to God. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for who he is in you. Start praising him from your deepest, the most inner being, your spirit man, and begin to thank him. Lord, I bless you. I honor you. I thank you. I give you glory. I magnify you, Jesus. I thank you that you're my king. I thank you that you're my savior. I thank you, Lord, that you provide all my needs. I thank you, Lord, your word tells me that I have good seed and good ground. It brings a good harvest. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a man who is not a sparing giver. I'm a bountiful giver. Therefore, I have a bountiful harvest. I'm a man who leads people to Jesus. I'm a man who's filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a man who's going to be a giver, a blesser, not a taker. I am not a taker. I am not a taker. I am not a taker. Don't you listen to that, whoever that's for. Hallelujah. Be a giver. Say this with me. I'm a giver, and givers give. I'm a believer, and believers believe. I'm a receiver, and receivers receive. Amen. Hallelujah. You all listen real well. You obey real good. Give glory to God, not the mountain. give glory to God, not the mountain. I'm closing with Daniel 3:17 for the second time. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3. Money cometh. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3. Hallelujah. God wants you blessed. You believe that? Hallelujah. I said, God wants you blessed. Do you believe that? Amen. All right, Daniel chapter 3. This is the story of, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How would you like to have that for a name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just call them Shad and Me and whatever for short. Daniel chapter 3, let's start about verse 8. Therefore, at the time of certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews, they spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king forever, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due to regards to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage, sounds like the devil, doesn't it? In rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, It is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good, but if you do not, you shall be cast immediately, he says, into the midst. So they got seconds here to make their mind up. They got seconds to make their mind up. They don't have days to think about it. Seconds. He says, you shall be cast immediately, in verse 15, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, verse 16, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you. So they're not going to converse with the devil, they're going to tell the devil. So what you got to do, tell the devil who you are and who you're going to serve. Don't converse with him. Don't let him toy with your mind through a king or whoever. Tell him. Hallelujah. You have the authority to do it. Jesus said, Luke 10:19, I give you authority to trample upon scorpions, snakes, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing is going to harm you. You can get that down. You got it good. Luke 10:19. You look it up. All right, he says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. He says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He's a madman, isn't he? And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he was pouting. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than what it was usually heated. All right, wrapping up. Does it feel like to you, brother, as a minister of the gospel, that the heat has been turned up seven times hotter on you, and your response is, I'm not serving any other God? That's it. They had seconds to make their mind up. They didn't negotiate. They didn't compromise. They didn't say, well, you know, oh, Kingy Poo, you know, won't you just turn down the heat a little bit and we might make it through, or won't you give us a little more time to think about it? No, they said, they stood up in his face, evidently, or right to him, and said, no, if this be the case, here's what's going to happen. And if you read the rest of the story, you see that they were delivered, and there was one as Jesus walking in with them. Hallelujah. So the perilous times we've been talking about, winning in perilous times, the theme of our thing, they let him know right away who their God was. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. They let him know right away that it was their God that was going to deliver them. Are you convinced tonight that he is your God? Then don't quit now. Hallelujah. Somebody, hallelujah, thinking he'll do it for you. Someone else might be able to believe for me. No. They had to answer right away. They had to make their stand right away. Seconds. It had to come out of their spirit, I believe. You're ready to be thrown into the fire. Have you been thrown into a fiery furnace for serving Jesus? Yes. Are you still here? Yes. Do you have the victory? Yes. Do you always see or feel the victory? You're all going to say no, but let me don't say it too quick. I agree with you in certain respects. Do you always see or feel the victory? Well, that depends on who you're listening to and who you're talking after. Because what you see and who you listen to will determine what you have. It can. You got your eyes on the news, you're going to have what the news has got. You got your eyes on the good news, and you're going to have what the good news says you have. Eyes and ears on the word, then comes out your mouth. They did not negotiate with the king to turn down the fiery furnace or give him a little bit of time. They simply had a resolve of faith and spoke it. I didn't get to the woman who had the issue of blood, but you know the story. Jesus turned to her and said, your faith has made you whole. I ask you tonight, what is it you need for your faith that you have right now to make you whole? We're going to pray for healing. I'm going to pray for our sister. I told her she'd come tonight. We're going to pray for her. Anybody else that needs healing in this building, same as you gave, come and receive. If you'll stand with me. It's time for you and me to start talking our faith, talking our word, talking what we believe. Somebody will come and play something, whoever wants to, and the sister will come up for us to pray for her. Anybody here who needs healing tonight, in your back, if you've got problems in your back, you need to come now. If you've got something wrong with your back, you need to come right now. You need to step up right now to the plate and receive your healing. You need to come over right now. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. You got trouble in your back. It needs to be taken care of right now, this very hour. This very hour. Hallelujah. Blood pressure. If you've got blood pressure trouble, you need to come now. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody here's got something wrong. I don't know what the disease is called, and it don't really matter, but you got something going on in your bones. Not necessarily arthritis, maybe. Maybe it is, but something going on in your bones. Something not working just right there. You need to come tonight. It says of me, Jesus is my healer. He's already provided my healing. All I have to do is believe and receive. Say it with my mouth. Confess it with my heart. Confess with my mouth, say it with my heart. I'm trying to tell you. Shut the Lord, I've seen the little bit cold. What do you need, brother? Lower back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, brother, lay your hands on him. He's got arthritis in his back. In his hands. Yeah, that needs to end. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead and pray for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.